Praise God. Can everybody hear me? I was on the phone with some of my friends earlier, and I said, hey, I'm preaching tonight. Will you pray for me? And she goes, yeah, we'll pray for you. She goes, but we know you. Once you get up there, we're going to pray that you shut up when you're supposed to, because we know that you got some stuff to say, and it's not that you're afraid to talk or nothing like that, but that we're praying that you say what God says, and that's all you need to say. And I've just been praying and meditating this week. I had, like, a lot of stuff, and you know, one of the things that's a proud moment was when I got to go to the banquet dinner last week and see Pastor Kelly become the humanitarian. You know, that was one of the prizes of my life, watching her grow up here as a kid in church, watching her believe God for her children, watching her years later believe God. Why did I believe God for some children? But Kelly, no matter what, she's blessed. Everything she touches is blessed. She's anointed. She's called. She's watched Insights with her dad. You know, I've been her dad's friend for a long time, and we were at Kelly's graduation, and he was disappointed, and he confided in me and says, I can't believe these other kids got all these scholarships, and they didn't give my daughter nothing. And then he said, but then I heard God say, just watch Kelly. Watch Pastor Kelly. Watch your daughter Kelly and see what I do in her life. As you know, in the last 2 years during COVID, every meal that we passed out in this church, and it's not just Kelly, it's all of y'all that have been cooking, bringing, making cakes, but delivering, whatever you do in this church, whether you take the trash out or whether you just come and worship God. But this is a team. This is a team concept. This is a family. And if one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. And if one of us is sad, we're all sad. Amen? So I've been just thinking about, like, crazy things, you know. One of the crazy things that I watched is a very little bit of TV because, you know, Brother Angelo a bunch of years ago said, I quit watching TV and I feel better. I'm like, man, I was so addicted to the news. What's the president doing? What's going on? Is there any more stimulus checks coming? You know, I was, like, addicted to that stuff. But he's quit watching it. I just quit watching it because it's all negative. And then I just flicked it on the other day, a chick on the views talking about 6 million people that died like it was nothing, you know? Oh, those people were, you know? And I thought, and then said that it wasn't about race. And I was just very, you know, discouraged. And I said, how could somebody be that cruel or that unknown? And I was listening to God, and he just told me, and Jesus was talking to some Pharisees once, and Jesus said, I tell you my words, and you don't listen. And he said, because you are not of my Father God. And he said, you know, you are of your father the devil, and he was a murderer and a liar and a thief from the beginning. And there's people that's on TV. There's people sometimes that surround us. There's people that's at our job that have no God in their life whatsoever. And there's people sometimes even in our own family. I have kids. One kid, couple of them's atheists, you know. I mean, I pray for them, you know. But do I let that discourage Sam McElhaney from believing in the everlasting living God that saved me, that filled me with his spirit, that blesses the work of my hands? No. I just move forward and push forward with God. And so as I've been, like, checking out God, I want to go to Matthew 28:18. And I just got this one little concept. It don't have to be up here. And I'm going to read 19 and 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, the more stuff I watch on TV and the more stuff that I see, wars, rumors of wars, you know, I don't think this is the end. God's wanting the gospel to be preached in all the world, but I think we're doing a good job here in Paris, Arkansas. Can anybody say amen? What I see Jesus doing right here, because has anybody ever heard the verse, anything you ask in my name, I will do it for you. I think it's Matthew 18:19-20. Says, if any two agree as to touching anything on earth, it shall be done unto them of my Father in heaven. And Jesus said, pray in my name. You know, I've been thinking about this. I'm going to just say I downloaded what a power of attorney is. Power of attorney is a letter or attorney is written authorization to represent or act on another's behalf in private affairs, business, or some other legal matters. Just like Keisha acted on her friend. It needed a place to stay. And she said, my friends, man, they're getting put out of a hotel. They got five kids. They're out of money. She knew somebody to pray for in the name of Jesus because she's got the power of attorney from Jesus Christ, from the word of the living God, the will and testament of Jesus Christ is in this book. And the more of you, the more of us that we know what's in the book, the more promises we know, the more, just like Sister Sherry said, God's been blessing her. God's been helping her family and people she loves. She's grateful for what God's doing. But because God gave us the power of attorney, the power of attorney over our circumstances, the power of attorney over our health. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All those that rise up against us, we shall condemn with our own tongue, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Do you know how many times, Pastor Kelly said it this morning, God, if it's your will, give me that building. God told her, well, I just told you it was my will. But, you know, people tell me all the time, well, if it's God's will, he'll heal you. Well, if you don't know if it's God's will, then I really don't really want to pray for God's healing because I know it's God's will to pray. Now, I'm not going to be discouraged. A young man called me a month ago, and he wanted me to meet him and talk to him. And I talked to him, and I invited him to the church, and I told him the answer was in this church. The answer is in any church. Any church that preaches the power of attorney of Jesus Christ. Some believers that will lay hands on you and pray for you. Because, see, some people can say, you know, well, my family, my grandmother had mental histories and this and that, and that's just in our family. That just means everybody that's from that grandma's generation is all going to be nuts. Well, I got some better things to say. I'm not from the family down here on earth as much as I'm from the family of God and what this word says about my mind. It says that God gives me a sound mind, and he blesses me with that sound mind and gives me power and authority. Does anybody want the power of attorney to get the devil off your life tonight? So I want to read that one more time. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. The power of attorney. And I was just doing sort of nothing, watching some Christian TV last night, and Casting Crowns was on Huckabee. He was doing an interview. Huckabee told him, man, you know, I've always been proud of your music. He said, your music wasn't like just the genre, blah, 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 singing, you know, about something. And he goes, and I'm not knocking no other Christian artists, but whatever you guys wrote and sung about, it had meanings, deep personal meanings. And he said, when I started writing, I was a youth leader in my church, and I would write songs, and then I would minister them to the youth on the things they were going through. And he said, you know, what he said is that if you're representing God and you're loving people and you're letting people know that you have problems too and you're being real with people, they'll feel that love. And that's where the power of God manifests. Has anybody ever felt loved in here? Has anybody ever felt God's spirit in here? We were up here worshiping the other day, which was last week. I was right over there worshiping God, and I don't know who was singing or what was going on, but it was one of the most powerful worship service I ever had. And I've given somebody a word before and told them that the family curses was trying to come on their life. The family, most all of the family believes, you know, that, oh, these health problems and this and that, and, oh, this person's got this and that. But I said, for you to have a good life, there's like an octopus sitting on your brain, setting on your head. And I seen an octopus up here last week when we were praying deliverance over people on people's heads. And those tentacles, they try to reach out. And you get saved and you give your life to Jesus. And Jesus pulls the octopus off and throws. But sometimes in some of these animals, those little tentacles, you know, when you cut them off, they'll grow back. Sometimes when we're not getting enough of the Word of God or the Spirit of God or doing what we're supposed to do, those little thought processes come back and you're a Christian and you're trying to do what's right, but then the devil tries to overtake you. And what I seen was, while I was seeing that, I just seen a bright light come from God, like a bright light, like you were in his presence. And I seen all of that fall off. And, you know, whether it's anxiety like Pastor Kelly preached, whether it's some kind of spiritual stronghold in your mind or in your life, whether it's a financial bondage. You ever notice somebody that's always having financial problems? I'm not talking about once a year or you know, I'm talking about every month there's a struggle and there's a problem. And every month there's not enough money to pay the rent. Every month somebody's sick. It's like, and it's usually right before rent time if they're living in a rent house that I manage, and I have to say, well, I mean, you know, I'm praying for you, but you know, you still got to pay your rent or you got to move because there's 10 people that want your apartment. And when they realize that, they move back in. But the devil is getting much too much power than he deserves. I'm going to go to Romans 8. I'm going to go to Romans 8 and 14. I'm going to stay in Romans for a minute. Now, Jesus was telling those people, and there's people in the world, and you don't want to be listening to people in the world that don't got God in their life. I mean, if I need some advice, I usually call the pastors. I usually call Pastor A, Brother A, and I say, you know, and this is, he's read this verse to me a lot of times, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I used to like giving stuff away. I used to give more stuff away, and I didn't care who I was giving it to. And one day he told me, Sam, do you know what the greatest reason for giving is? And, you know, I don't know. I answered some dumb answer, and he said, no. He said, you know, it's all good to give. He said, God will pay you back one way or the other way. But the best time to give is when God drops it in your heart to minister to somebody. When God says, hey, give this person this. The best time to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and that he'll save you, and that I used to be a drug addict, but I'm a nurse now. I used to be strung out, you know, but now, I mean, I've worked at the same job. Tommy said 15 years, 28 years. Somebody banged into me in the freezer the other day. It was an accident. We both had heavy loads on us. I had to stop because the guy was spinning around, and it banged me. And part of me was mad. The flesh started to come out. I wanted to, you know, get somebody in trouble. But then I heard a higher voice that said, Sam, if you get them in trouble, you're going to get in trouble too because you was involved in the accident. I said, oh, it's time to have mercy on these guys. You know, I stretched my back a little bit. The one dude asked me if I was okay. And I said, yeah, watch where you're going next time. You almost caused me to get hurt. You know, it wasn't the guy behind me because he's about this short. And he's seeing them boxes. He couldn't even see the guy in front of me. And these guys, you know, everybody I work with knows I'm a Christian. There's people that I go in there, they look for me to come over and pray with them. They look for me to pray with them. And every day I'll pray. And then some days I'll go in there and they'll say, let me pray today. That's the highest honor because I let them pray and I see some growth. And I see somebody that's believing God for something else other than being sick, other than being broke, other than being distraught. This week on, I got people that their grandmothers passed away, and it's a devastating thing to people that really don't got a lot of God in their life. Now, see, there's a little bit of God when you know about Jesus and you've been to church and your grandma's watched Christian TV. There's a little bit of Jesus that you know about, but, you know, that little bit of Jesus don't really amount until you put him in your heart and confess him with your mouth and then start confessing his word. Then I'm going to go up to Romans 8:11. If you were up there doing the verses, I was making this easy. It's all a lot of it right here. Romans 8:11. And I think we sung a song that went along with this, but of the Spirit. And that's what a capital S. That means the Spirit of God. And he comes into your heart when you get born again. And then he comes into you in fuller measure if you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, God. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwells in you. Quicken your mortal body. Speak to you in here. Give you a vision. Give you, just like that vision I had with that octopus. I've been working with this person for almost 7 years, and I pry that octopus off. I pry that octopus off, and I tell her, you don't have to have that. You don't have to have the family curses. Family curses are in my life. They try to, the octopus likes to try to suck in. I refuse to accept the curses of my previous generations because I have been regenerated into Jesus Christ. I love those that are in my life. I love my family. I love the people that think they got to be cursed, but you don't got to be cursed. Therefore, through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us when he was nailed to the tree. Now, I've had curses on my life. I've had addictions on my life even since I've been a Christian. And just like my good friend Mark Bay used to say, I had to shake it off. I had to shake some things off. Did I do that on my own? No, I did it one time, one day at a time, every time Pastor Angelo would pull me, and I'd go to him and he'd say, you know, if you keep doing these things, you're going to wind up in hell. And did he just say that from an opinion or being judgmental? No, he pulled me to the Word of God and he said, this is what the Bible says about what you're doing. And this is what you got to change. He goes, because I don't think you really want to die and go to hell. I don't think you don't want to be a man of God. I think you're just struggling and you need some help here. And every time he's ever showed me the Word of God, he goes, but you know, you're your own man. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm in covenant with you. But there's just so much things you might not be able to do if you continue in that lifestyle. And no matter what I was into or what kind of struggles I was having, I never have not wanted to be a man of God. I never wanted to meet somebody that might need Jesus Christ, that I couldn't hear the voice of God, that something in my life or my flesh or my sins or my desires or my addictions, I've never heard. I never, ever wanted that to be there instead of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know what? Everybody can have their own opinions, but the only opinion I got is what the Word of God says. And I heard somebody say this week, they said, well, what is your opinion on abortion? What is your opinions on this? And the preacher said, what the Bible says. All of my political opinions are what the Bible says. All of my opinions about what's going on in this world right now are what the Bible says. Now, the Bible is not a very popular thing because there's more people that want to do what they want to do. But you know what? When the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and all those that rise up against you, you shall condemn with your own tongue. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Most High God, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It just matters what you and God think. And God is ready to heal. God is ready to cut curses off your life. God is ready to bless you like never before. 5 years ago when we took Brenda Babe for to the drug place, and then we had to go back and they had to take her and put her in the hospital because she had to be medicated because it was that bad. And you never know. But, you know, we weren't taking her there to be a failure. Now, Brenda is an example of righteousness in God. She decided she didn't want to be broke. She didn't want to be like that life. She didn't want to not be a mom. Something got a hold of Brenda, and I believe it was the same Jesus that got a hold of me 30 years ago, when I went up to an altar down the street and said, God, and all I could hear all the way from Arkansas was, you've gone too far. God will never forgive you. And I was drinking, and I was trying to get high. And I kept hearing, you can never be a man of God. Nobody will believe you. You've gone too far. Well, some of us are Christians, and the devil's still talking that trash to us. I was drunk and high, and I knew he was a lying devil then when I was drunk and high because I heard God say, if you'll go to Arkansas, I'll give you a new life. I came into this church with long hair and a bandana, almost 90 pounds or something like that, 100 pounds, looking strung out. But one day, Brother Emmett was preaching up here. He said, he took an offering, and he said, I see you preaching the Word of God. Now, I was back there, and I thought, well, that's what God wants me to do. And one time, I worked for Cloyd's for a few years, and I didn't really like the job. It was sort of smelly. You smelt like grease when you come out, but they were fixing my teeth and giving me money. And one day, I was sitting out there on break thinking, like, God, there's got to be something better than this. And I watched the little bird get a piece of bread from this thing by the truck we were eating. And I watched the bird fly off. And he said, keep watching the bird. And the bird flew off and disappeared. And he said, come and soar with me, Sam. Come and soar with me. And Walmart can be whatever. It's hard sometimes. But every day I go there and I just commit myself to those people. And I try, because I didn't like it at first. But, you know, I was a rebellious, drunken heathen. I thought I was above work. When I realized that that's just what you got to do to eat, I thought, well, I like eating. I had to learn how to work. Then I had to learn how to treat my bosses, you know. And I got some bosses that let me get away with murder now just because I'll stand up and say, man, this is going to be a good day. Now, it looks like 12 hours, and it looks like we're all going to be hurting, or it could be the end of the world. Somebody's got to be positive. Somebody's got to say something good. And the next thing I know, if I'm late and they cover it up and punch it up and say, hey, man, I got you covered for that, I'm thinking, I'm going to keep saying something positive. I might need some grace later on. Amen? And then, like, you know, Jesus can tell us something, and we still might mess it. But this is how good Jesus is. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose, who are called according to God's purpose. Now, we can have some things in our life, and I have, and they're not good. But if you just keep loving God, if you just keep loving God, if you just keep loving God, I'm going to read that verse. Do I think that God might heal you? Do I think that God can deliver your children? No, I know God can deliver your children whenever they're ready. But if they're not ready right now, find somebody God's ready to touch, that God tells you to bless, that God tells you to write a letter to, that God tells you to speak into their life. Find somebody you can do something for. Find a church, something in the church to do. Meanwhile, while you're waiting for your own family to get saved, do something for God, because there's a lot of people that got their hands out that want something done for them, but then there's somebody that might want something done for God, because if you'll do something for God, I've noticed he does something for you. And we know. Remember Jesus talking to those people? Said, you're of your father. You don't know my father. Jesus would say this, I listen and I do what my father says. Sometimes you might mess it, but then I go back and I listen and I try to do what my father says. If anybody's ever got any money from me in here, my father said, give these people some money. Bless them. And every time I've ever done what the father says, he gives me another stack of money. But he ain't giving it just for me. Do what my father says. Now, you may be having financial problems. You may be having relationship problems. You may be having personal problems that we can't even talk about. There's a young man in jail over there I talked to right now that's not looking too good. And his mother and father called me before here, and she goes, whatever you think, you tried to help him every way that you could. Do not think that you didn't do all you could do. We love you. Thank you. He's wanting a Bible. And if you feel like it, if you could go to the jail and talk to him, we'd appreciate it. And if not, we understand you're busy. Well, of course I'm going to get him a Bible. Look. And she goes, you told him what to do. And he felt it so strong. He was telling us that if he only would have listened, all I told him to do was come to church. Because if you won't come to church, there's some things in your life that if you won't come through the doors of a church where the body of Christ can come together and command that to come off in the name of Jesus, just like Jesus did when he got off the boat and walked through the cemetery and the guy was bound with chains and he was cutting himself and Jesus told him to be free. The whole town came after Jesus threw all them demons into pigs and somebody lost a bunch of pork chops. They were mad about it, but they came and they seen the guy free. They came and they seen the guy. Nobody's ever heard that part before. Well, you could have still got some pork chops if you went fishing for them, but they were pretty deep in the sea, you know. But, man, they came and they seen the guy that was there, bound in chains, cut, that always cut himself, that was demon, and they seen him in his right mind, and they seen him clothed, and they couldn't believe it. Now, I don't think a lot of people believe how good Keisha's doing, but Keisha's doing the best I ever seen since she's done. She's not only doing the best for herself, she's going out and touching people in the name of Jesus. She's doing the best for her church, whatever she can do here. And who wouldn't want to have a girl like Keisha in this church? And how many people know what God's got planned for Keisha? It's all good. Romans 8:28, even if you mess up, all you got to do is keep loving God. Loving God's not hard because he loved us even when we weren't lovable. Amen? The power of attorney. You know, I could make this longer than it needs to be. But the power of attorney is the Bible, and Jesus gave us this. I'm going to read that first scripture. It says, starting in John 8:42, Jesus said to them, this is where some people are accusing Jesus. This is where people are coming against Jesus. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. The devil was a liar from the beginning. The devil's going to tell you you're not going to get healed. He's going to tell you you're never going to make it. And you know what? He still tells me that sometimes. But you know what? I shake it off, just like Paul when that snake bit him. Shake it off into the fire and continue going forward for God. Sometimes people receive it. Sometimes you mess it. God, forgive me. Help me to listen better. Help me to listen better. Give me another chance to give to that person. Give me another chance to speak to that person. Give me a chance to apologize to that person. And if you'll just keep doing what God tells you to do. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? You can prove me guilty because I probably messed up earlier today. But Jesus, no one could prove that he had any sin. If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now, you could be in this church right now and you could have problems. You know, God loves you. You could be a Christian and have problems. But God is always there. Pastor Kelly used Isaiah 41:10. And at the end of that, it says that God will take you with his righteous right hand, and he will help you. You know, the reason you're taking hold of God's righteous right hand in the bottom of Isaiah 41:10 is because sometimes we ain't acting so righteous. But when we grab hold of Jesus' hand, he's there to help us. He's got his hand always extended to every circumstance in our life. It's us that has to just reach up and take his hand. Remember when Peter seen Jesus walking on the water and he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come to you. And Peter, man, it's storming, man. Peter got out and walked. But then he looked around and seen what the devil was doing all around him and he fell down. And Jesus reached down and picked him up and said, oh, ye of little faith. We all sometimes don't have the faith enough. But if we'll just look back up to Jesus and get our eyes off the lies of the devil, he's ready to pick us up and take us to a new level, to a new area of business, to a retirement, you know. I mean, I'm 61 years old, man. It scares me, you know. I like people, oh, they're not going to have no money. Man, they're going to have more money, man. Somebody's going to get this right just because it looks like they're running out of money. Now, maybe some people might vote right next time. I don't know. There'll be more money. And I'm not political. But, you know, I mean, there might be more money under this president. And I'll say, hey, we don't need another president. But the main thing is God has all the money. God knows where the silver and gold is. All you need to do is be led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. And at a time you're supposed to go somewhere else, God will show you where you're supposed to go. And there'll be more gold and silver over there and less work. Because I vote for more money, less work. Amen? But I've lived a long time and there ain't no way of getting out of a little work once in a while. Just find Pastor Kelly at about 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. There'll be something for you to do around here. Amen? Or on Monday at 2 o'clock when they're cooking the meal, there's a little bit of work. But if you're working for God, you ain't never going to lose. All things are going to work out. And then Psalms 138, verse 8, the Lord shall perfect everything that concerns you. So don't be concerned. And if anybody's concerned about anything, I'm going to call Brother Angelo up here. I'm going to let him close this out, but I'm going to stand here and I'll pray in agreement for anything you want to believe for. And if you guys want the power of attorney, that when you pray, things are going to answer a little better. And the reason prayers get answered is because you're praying according to God's will in your heart. Amen? And if you know the next 10 prayers were going to be answered, maybe you're thinking like, how are we going to do this? God will tell you how to pray. Amen?
You know, last night at about 2 or 3 in the morning, Sam and I were talking, and I gave him a fresh word. It's time for an upgrade, Sam.
Amen.
Time for an upgrade.
Amen.
Your ministry. I want you to put your hands out like this.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. I saw these hands laying hands on people and people getting blessed. You've been faithful with little.